Welcome, everyone. Today is March 26, 2015, and this is the second synthesis session for Ontology Summit 2015, the Internet of Things. My name is Michael Gruninger, and together with Mark Underwood, I am one of the co-chairs for this year's summit. Today is the second synthesis session and initial review of the draft of the communique. The agenda for today is pasted into the chat room, which you can access from the meeting page. The idea today is to first go through each of the tracks. Each track co-champion will be presenting a synthesis of the work that has happened both since the last synthesis session that we had in middle of February, but also some ideas and some insights that have been gathered throughout the course of the summit. So each track will be presenting their particular perspective. And we will be going in, I guess, alphabetical order. We will first hear about track A, then the Ontology Integration of Internet of Things from Leo Oberst will be presenting. Track B, Beyond Semantic Sensor Network Ontologies, Torsten Hammann will be presenting that. Hopefully he'll be there online by the time that comes along. Track C, Decision-Making in Different Domains, Mike Bennett, hopefully will be presenting some of the ideas there. And track D, Related Standards and Synergies for Emerging Internet of Things Ontologies. Mark Underwood is the co-champion. He won't be able to attend today, but we will be referring to the synthesis page that Mark did put together. So he didn't put together some slides for today's session, but he did add a lot to the synthesis page for his track, and we'll just do a brief review of that. After each of the tracks presents their work, we will have a Q&A and open discussion, trying to identify what are some of the key themes, some of the key take-home messages, and just kind of discuss those and track those within the chat page. And after we kind of exhaust our discussion there, we will take a look at the draft of the communique that Mark and I put together. Again, this is just the first draft, and it's basically incorporating things from the first synthesis session and any other points that came up. Doesn't really reflect some of the activity that's happened in the past 2 days. And after that, we'll have a Q&A and session again, trying to identify any big missing pieces or things that maybe should be stated differently. Today, we're talking mainly about the big picture. Next week's session, we'll be talking at a little more fine-grained level of detail. And then we'll wrap up. And as I said before, we're going to be wrapping up at 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time today. So if there aren't any questions, we will start off with the synthesis notes from track A presented by Leo together with Ram Sriram. And you can access the slides. There are slides for track A and track B that are on the meeting page under the prepared presentation materials link. So Leo, go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
Perfect.
Okay, great. Thanks, folks. Track A, this is by me and Ram Sriram. I think Ram is present, so I guess I'll present, but Ram, you know, make comments whenever appropriate. I think guidelines say we want to basically take about 7 minutes or so on these slides. So most of this earlier stuff that you've seen, so I'll go over it fairly quickly. You can also see our synthesis page, which is off the main page. Track A is focused on ontology integration and the Internet of Things. If you look at slide two, a restatement of our goal and mission, basically looking at integration interoperability issues, and then looking at case studies, approaches, gaps in integration interoperability, proposing methods, focusing across the layers of the IoT where necessary, and thinking about united framework for multimodal interfaces for IoT. So slide three, we have some terminology. I think Ram provided this. And there's more detail on his briefing from the previous session. So terminology in slide three, Internet of Things. I won't go through a statement of each of these, but when we have questions, we'll probably want to have definitions, and so we expect that we'll try to make some of these definitions in the communique. The Internet of Things, we've talked about cyber-physical systems, you see a definition, and human systems, and kind of an elaboration, cyber-physical social systems, and what we're calling smart network systems and societies. Slide four, the technical challenge. Basically, we're focused on development of trusted, secure, reliable, interoperable kind of net-centric environment that will essentially provide infrastructure across the board for things and systems on the Internet. That includes, obviously, sensors at very low-level granularity to complex cities, smart cities, social environments, and very very higher level smart organizations and interactions. So one technical challenge is most of what we address on this vast net is heterogeneous devices, humans, data. Yet to provide semantic interoperability, we need, you know, semantics and ontologies to help us capture what these things mean and communicate among them what that meaning is. So it requires a development of standard terminologies and ontologies, capturing objects and events of interest, relations also, obviously. And creating and testing these will kind of aid us in recognizing, reacting to changes in the situation that may be recognized at very low levels of objects, sensors, for example, but have a ripple effect ramifications across the Internet of Things. Next slide is slide five. Restatement of our objectives or our mission here, so I won't go into that. Slide six is a list of the speakers we had presenting on track A. So it's, you know, probably many of these are present in this session. Dr. Steve Ray, Payam Parnaghi, Jack Hodges, Mamshri Ram, Spencer Briner, Swaran Subramanian, and Christoph Janovich, and of course, many others that participated in the chat sessions and questions and comments. Slide seven, focusing on some of the case studies that the speakers presented, we can see at least these four, if you will, sensor integration, and they're going to have ramifications and resonances across the tracks, I think. So sensor integration, obviously brought up by Steve Ray, along with a smart grid, and obviously Steve has done work on smart cities. And smart healthcare in the case of both Jack Hodges and Mamshri Ram, and then kind of a framework, overall framework, cross use cases for the Internet of Things by Payam Parnaghi. Next slide is eight. The speakers and what we've seen in track A, basically a number of approaches. I see that we still have our typo corrected on the page, the synthesis page, but it's HyperCat is our first approach, which was basically Parnaghi, focusing kind of on annotations of a lot of these resources using metadata in providing servers with catalogs as one approach. A simple mapping manually and perhaps a semi-automated fashion mapping JSON entities to target ontologies that Steve Ray introduced, but also inference-based mapping, mappings between ontologies using rules and an inference engine, even maybe theorem provers. Christoph Janowitz also said that this is like making data smart, and he provided some notions from patterns, ontology-based patterns, design patterns that might assist in this. And then, of course, combining existing ontologies, which are probably well-defined already in various domains. And these will be used to integrate systems. So the QUDT, quantities and units and dimensions ontology, semantic sensor networks, OBO ontologies such as foundation model of anatomy, symptom ontology, human disease ontology, and of course very many others, including upper ontologies in many cases that we're all familiar with. Next slide is slide 9.
Ramya, that came from Jack Hodges, that particular info. We forgot to put the...
Okay, yes, we don't have it annotated, but that's Jack Hodges, the last. And it's probably an approach that also, none of these are exclusive, and they all fill the gap at various levels, so I'm sure all the speakers would agree. Slide 9, then, is looking at gaps, and these are some of the gaps that have been pulled from our speakers and the discussions, noting that, first of all, you know, most systems are in prototype stages, and they probably, as such, lack semantic annotation tools, and in general, we have tool gaps that for validation of ontologies. We have description logic reasoners and more formal, more complex first order logic and maybe logic programming reasoners that can look at consistency issues, but there's less tools for, you know, more domain evaluation and validation of ontologies, and that's one thing that we need. In the IoT, we think that security and trust are extremely important. That includes validating the ontologies, make sure they're not mal ontologies, and can cause data integration, interoperability, and reasoning to go awry. A number of the speakers focused on having more work on representing events. And it's not just simple events at very low-level sensor-based events, low-level levels of events, but more complex recognition of events and spanning events and how events relate to each other, including the objects and states and relations that interact in those events. The IoT ontologies need to deal more with dynamic time because a lot of the data is varying and it's constantly varying. We know that most of it is probably instance-based data, but in many cases there may be changes in the ontologies that have to be changed as the systems are interacting, and that's a more complex problem. Along with validation, privacy and security issues, and we've seen that for the most part, for integration and interoperability, we heavily rely on humans to do mappings and and rule-based changes and mappings to ontologies and between ontologies. There are some promising approaches, for example, category theory and related notions that some of the speakers have introduced, but we don't really have much in the way of tools that will provide the value of those approaches yet. Slide 10. So some of the methods, again, for integration and interoperability, you know, we've talked about dynamic semantics, working with temporal, rapidly changing ontologies and instance data, and their interactions, of course, which have to go on sometimes in real time. The event ontologies that go along with those dynamic semantics. We mentioned category theory. So we saw from a couple of our speakers, Briner and Subramanian, that there's very good promise in using these technologies, and we'd like to see them actually used in more tools available for ontology developers, but also application developers. And then design patterns that Christoph raised in particular, thinking about ontology virtualization, ways to combine mini-theories, micro-theories, micro-ontologies, kind of abstracting away from some of the more complex axiomatizations of, let's say, sometimes in strong ontological commitments at upper ontology levels to perhaps lesser ontological commitments. It's not saying that we don't see ontology, upper ontologies, foundational ontologies, and ontologies at different levels, super domain, for example, an upper ontology in a specific domain like biology or medicine. We do see that, and but counteracting that, in effect, is some bottom-up development of design patterns coming up from the bottom that try to capture simple patterns that can be combined and then obviously link with those top-level, top coming down ontologies. And techniques for interoperability addressed by Steve Ray and Jack Hodges. Slide 11, verification, validation. Again, we think that this is more and more important. We have to trust not just the objects, but the smart objects. If we have the Internet of Things, you know, these things that can be anything, including social networks and software items, but also physical reality, physical things that can respond, communicate, and, you know, act as a whole, right? Smart traffic of the future, using smart cars that are, automatically driven on, automated highways in smarter cities. For that to work, you need, complex interactions among networks at different granularity, but you need to focus also on ontologies that bridge those networks. And, how do you evaluate those and how do you evaluate changes? Imagine version control in the future for this vast Internet of Things. And evaluation metrics, for example, you know, if you want to connect two networks together, maybe for a specific time. It may be forever. How do you evaluate those? What kind of metrics questions do you need? Slide 12, some process insights, and we mentioned this during our last session too, that these are borrowed from Parnum Barnaghi, but you can just read them in the interest of time. We think that these are focusing on some of the things that we need, and we hope that some of these are addressed, and we think they are, by other tracks, and therefore can go into the communique in some fashion. Okay, and that's all for now. We have some backup, which includes some slides that we've condensed from some of our speakers, but that's it for now. Thank you. Ram, any other comments?
Yeah, just a couple of comments in there, and some of these slides may look generic in terms of can be applicable to any domain kind of things, but I think we need to kind of make a couple of observations here in this whole notion of smart network system and society and integration. One is that we have both things and humans in this picture, like there are smart objects and there are smart humans. So that's one thing. And the second thing is to deal with whole time-based aspects of this, of the behavior of the network. So that's where things become a little tricky in terms of ontological development and things like that. So just wanted to make those two observations.
Ron, could you type those into the chat, please? That'd be okay. Those are great items to make sure we include.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, thanks, Ram.
So thanks, Leo and Ron. Great material. And I guess I'll make comments like when we get to the communique and things after that. And everyone else here, you can have comments now, put them into the chat. And then because there's some really good ideas there with that terminology, and I put that in and Todd replied. So if people have comments, put in the chat, and we're going to go through all the different tracks, and then we'll come back and have a wide open Q&A. So Torsten's not on yet for track B. track C. So Mike, I know you just came on late, and so I don't want to just put you on the spot right away. But
hi, Michael.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hello. Reasonably well.
So what we could do is I can go over to track D and just talk about what Mark Underwood had put onto the track D synthesis pages. And maybe between now and then, Mike, you could just be kind of framing your thoughts for the track C synthesis ideas. Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
And if the person comes on before then he can go and you can go last. So that
right. Takes
a little more pressure off. Let's see.
This is Ken.
Oh, hey. Oh, yeah, right. You have some ideas too, yes.
I've actually been working on the track C synthesis page.
Okay.
Oh.
And, so do you want to go ahead now and talk?
I suppose I could go over those the synthesis there.
Okay. So let's see. We'll just paste this. So track C synthesis. Oops. So if you guys want to go on ahead and say a few words.
Sure. If you look on the synthesis page, there's one section, there's 1B, that lists a series of case studies from the various speakers. I think they're quite a diverse collection of case studies, and it might be helpful just to have such a list in the communique. I mean, perhaps not with any more detail than I showed there. But it shows, you know, the wide variety of use cases that, you know, that we've been discussing in the, this, and of course would be relevant to all that the, all of the Internet of Things, the, you know, ontologies and reasoning systems that other people have talked about in the other tracks. So you go through that list, you see the various case studies. And then what I did was extract out from the various talks the insights and lessons learned. No doubt I haven't extracted all of them, so anyway, Mike, could if you could you know, add a few more, that would be really helpful. So
unfortunately, most of my materials at home on my my home desktop, and I'm over in the States at the moment. So, but for memory, I think you picked out a lot of what had sort of stuck in my mind. Anyway, I think one of the things that really stuck in my mind, and this is almost more of a synthesis with the integration side, is the balance between what you need for integration and what you can do with reasoning. We've seen some really varied and very interesting approaches to sort of very, very detailed ontologies for doing reasoning and decision making and so on, with, and at the same time, the balance between that and what it takes to integrate concepts across a very broad domain, and particularly with the Internet of Things and like with some of the military applications and so on, such a broad set of things that are there. So that was one thing that just stuck in my mind that I've been chewing over. And while I think of it, there was something last week that we identified an opportunity to help somebody with something. Yes, the building services folks. There was a very good business-driven conceptual kind of, you know, concept model for a lot of stuff that wasn't framed in OWL or indeed anything that embodies first-order logic and could have been. And there's, I think, a lot of opportunities to help with that. So that was something we said we'd try and bring into the synthesis as well.
So, yeah, there's certainly a lot of good ideas. If you could capture some of that in the synthesis page, that would be great.
Will do. Sorry, I've been so offline for a while. I had a lot of deadlines for this conference I'm at, and now I'm back above water. So thanks for bearing with me. Also, my mailbox got hacked, so if anybody's mailed me recently, they won't have got through.
If you go further down on the on this page, down by 1C12 and 1C13, some interesting issues came up during the second session, and you know, one of them is that there seems to be a somewhat different idea of what a decision is. Are you answering a question where you know that there is an answer, but you just need to find it, and therefore you need to deduce it? Or are you making a decision from scratch? I mean, are you in a business process, such as a software development, where there isn't any place where you could look to find the answer? You're trying to make that decision. You're trying to create the answer. So that's, it seems to me, the kind of reasoning that you employ, the kind of axioms that you use, possibly even aspects of the ontology, would be affected by what you're then going to use this, these facts for. And, you know, are you answering a question or are you making a decision in a process? Might be worth mentioning that briefly, at least in the communique. Because there was some, this really came up during the Track C session, particularly all the different kinds of reasoning that occur in the various tools, particularly IBM Watson, where they have quite a variety of different techniques for answering those questions and have to reconcile them somehow. That's a very interesting aspect of the use of ontology and reasoning.
Yeah, and there's also a wide range of things that can be reasoned over. So some really good presentations on process and activities and all those kind of things, as well as the normal kind of stuff.
Right. So I think it's all there. I would really like to see more people making contributions to this. There is a community input page, but nobody's really, I don't think anybody's contributed anything yet. But by all means, if you found something or you heard something during one of the talks or the discussion that occurred during any of these tracks, it would be good to incorporate that into the synthesis pages.
Yeah, thanks, Ken, for that. Because when I did the initial draft for the communique, I was accessing an earlier version of the page where there wasn't any of the material from Bill Murdoch's talk. So this is great material. I'll make sure that it gets into the communique.
Yeah, thanks.
And yeah, so then yeah, Mike will type in his insights that he was just expounded so eloquently.
A little bit.
Okay, so then so next up, Torsten is here now. So Torsten, if you'd like to give an overview then of the track B synthesis.
Yes.
Gary has some slides also. If you go to the prepared presentation material, the purple number 1G on the meeting page, you can find Torsten and Gary's slides.
Can you hear me?
Perfect.
Good. So we actually had a really difficult time like kind of trying to synthesize everything. So I will go over what we have so far. So just to kind of review what kind of talk we had, that is on slide 3. We had 9 talks in total. The first session was more like an overview of the semantic sensor network ontology. And Jeff Boris had some slides on the sensor model for IoT. And then the second, and Corey Hansen presented more on the sensor network ontology. And then in the second session, we had quite a variety of different directions, kind of taking what is out there right now and either kind of enhancing the semantic or some work that identified additional pieces like devices that are not really represented yet in the SSNO or completely different approaches to using ontologies for sensor networks. So in slide 4. So I think one thing we agree on are that sensors and clusters of sensors are a big part of the Internet of Things, and so we need some kind of sensing. We need to understand what sensing is going on, and we, in most cases, have a lot of data coming in from the sensors that we need to process in some way. So there are a lot of the big data challenges that come up, again, in the processing of sensor data. And another point that I think most of the speakers agreed on is that the semantic sensor network ontology is a very good basis to start with. It has like the main concept in there, and it somehow plays a role in most of the ongoing efforts and kind of in the work to extend it for larger IoT applications. So there's two applications. One is kind of to process and understand sensor information, and also kind of understanding the limitations or like what has been learned in the development to kind of come up with better versions or enhancements. One thing that I think most of the speakers brought up is the heterogeneity in IoT, and something that is actually something that's not really addressed by any of the existing standards to the degree that we would like it to be addressed. So this is one challenge where we could look at new ontologies or enhanced semantics to kind of better address that? Like, what kind of information are sensors collecting, and how does it fit together? For slide 5, so that's kind of our approach to synthesizing what was presented and discussed in the two sessions. So there were quite a few pieces of work on evolving the SSN to kind of place it into the larger IoT context and interfacing it with other ontologies or building other ontologies on top of it. In particular, there was an emphasis on kind of the interaction or the communication that needs to be going on, and the identification of sensors, of their capabilities, etc. And then the second theme that we kind of identified in here is there are two directions currently. One is semantics in the cloud, so aggregating all this information from different sensors and storing that in the cloud, processing that in the cloud, and also registering the sensors in the cloud, which brings up a whole bunch of new issues, like how do we identify or find sensors, how do we know whether we can trust them, what do we know about their reliability. I think Jeff Morris brought that up in his slide, like issues of reliability and security. And then we have a kind of second approach is how can we embed semantics in the distributed sensors. So this is what Corey Hansen called semantics on the edge, and another speaker used the term smart sensors, so that the sensors do some of the processing distributed, and they communicate only when they feel like they have something useful to say. So slide 6 is a summary of the evolving, so the first theme, evolving the sensor network ontology. So we reviewed it, and there are a couple extensions. I'm not familiar with all of them, but I remember the provenance ontology coming up, computational observations coming up. Barry Smith talked about kind of biosensors, and there was some mentioning of RDS data stream access and data cube vocabulary. There are quite a few directions that people have taken, and they all look promising. But I think much of the work is in very early stage, though. Slide 7. So a little bit more on the evolving theme. One thing that came up was evolving service standards similar to semantic web services, kind of IoT interoperability services, so that we can kind of use new sensors when they become available and replace them in a plug-and-play fashion. I think two or three speakers mentioned that the limitations of the existing ontology that is represents IoT devices only partially. So it has this focus on sensing devices, not necessarily on actuators, on aggregators, and all the other devices that are crucial in kind of making sense of the data and reacting to the data. I think that's one of the things that the Internet of Things goes beyond the sensor network in the more classical sense, that it's not just collecting data, but also acting on it, making smart decisions. Let me move on to the next slide, slide number 8. So the two approaches, Corey Hansen outlined them, and we kind of hinted at them in the introduction as well, the semantics in the cloud, like using more semantics in the cloud and centrally process some of the information. And then the second approach, the semantic at the edge. So the next slide is one summary that we came up with, was some kind of comparison about the two approaches that I think is very relevant to what Corey mentioned and to the work we've seen in the presentation. The next slide, that is slide number 10. It doesn't have any number anymore. Constantinos Kurtis presented the semantic registry, the kind of on top of the SSN and DOL as a way to discover and access different sensors, similar to like a web service registry. And this is kind of trying to address the heterogeneity on the technological side, on the semantic side. And so this is, I think, one of the important directions that we can pursue. Slide number 11. So he further divided the entities into kind of smart entities and control entities. So the smart entities are the ones that are sensing on the one side, but also actuating, like doing things. And then the control entities are more kind of in the back end, aggregating, controlling the sensors, etc. So he calls them applications as well, kind of sitting on top of how to use the sensors, how to use the actuators. So, and there's a lot of communication that needs to be going on between them. So that is one opportunity for more semantics. Jean-Paul Colby-Monte presented quite a different approach that we also categorized as semantic at the edge, is kind of accessing data streams with some semantic language, similar to Sparkle having like a RDF query language for data streams and describing them on a kind of shallow level of semantics, but at least starting to add some semantics and trying to put to them more smartly. Slide number 12. So we also presented kind of an approach on semantics at the edge, where kind of raw sensor signals are aggregated. This is actually not, that should be in the other category. I don't know if we classified it wrong here, but it should be more semantic on the cloud that you aggregate different data and then process it. But in the future, one could imagine kind of bringing that into the sensors if they actually do the aggregation at more fine-grained level. Slide number 13, tooling. So that was one thing that came up quite frequently, is that we currently don't really have the tools to insert semantic technology into IFT work and test the scalability. So that includes a kind of how to create semantic representation ontologies for sensor devices, for example, or for specific applications, and also for integrating data, data collection with IoT. So that's something that needs a lot of work. That's pretty much it.
Oh, thanks, Torsten.
Yes, so Ravi was just mentioning that it's more of an enumeration of what happened. I agree with that. We had a very difficult time like synthesizing it to a higher level. It was just very diverse pieces of work.
Right, and I think that's, you know, we can talk about that when we get to the communique discussion, and I think it's something we can focus on over the coming week on how to get that extra level of synthesis in the material. Because there are some broad themes I saw there. I say the draft that I made did not include this material, and there's a lot of really good material here. I think particularly your slide 9 is a nice synthesis of what happened. So. Yeah, thanks. Looks really good. Really good. Okay, so I'm just going to say it's going to point people in the direction of the Track B synthesis page. And I'm just going to paste that into the chat here. So Mark Underwood had focused more on kind of putting the content on the synthesis page and producing any slides today. But I actually incorporated a lot of this text into the communique, and particularly in terms of some of the ideas that he had of looking at, say, some, you know, when you're looking at these standards that are related to IoT, you know, there's the one challenge of standards development, but there's also the challenge of standards integration. And so he kind of looks at both of these and looks at some success stories and some other opportunities. And he also has this section on gaps, loose ends, hopeful signs, loose ends, gaps, and forecasts. And so I kind of incorporated most of those verbatim into the communique. Well, not verbatim, but, you know, I closely incorporated those into the communique. So people can just take a look at that. So what we can do now is just spend, say, 10 minutes or so having just open Q&A on the syntheses that we have heard so far from the tracks. Any big comments? Like Robbie had this comment on, well, I guess this comment was directed at track. Was it during that track B, or I guess now Ravi, you're saying that this comment applies to all of the presentations?
No, I mean all the presentations.
Okay.
The idea is that people are looking at 2015 summit to tell them not only a lot about what the gaps are, because ontology itself is an essence subject, so you expect gaps. But what are the case studies that have been presented during these deliberations that stand out? But I'm at a loss as to where on the canvas of things of an a mature ontology approach on IoT. Where do we stand? So some things are very nascent, some are defined, interfaces are a big gap, or interoperability, as Todd says, etc. So is there a way to concisely or visually depict some of these? So one doesn't have to read six pages to come at that view that that is where we are, that's where we are going to have to go.
Mike, I agree. I think that's what we want to have, is a sense of where do we have to go. I think that might be the best contribution that we can make in this summit, is trying to outline what are the opportunities and perhaps what are some of the more feasible opportunities, but in a concrete way. And I agree, like you mentioned case studies, and Ken had mentioned case studies as being a key idea, a key thing to include in the communique. So I agree, we want to have that information to be, or that insight to be provided to people, as it's not just kind of like a state of the art thing we want to do. We want to really be, you know, slightly visionary and pointing towards the future as to where we need to go.
Yeah, I think we got the sense, and it's hard to do it. It's so easy to suggest for me, but it's so hard to do. And yes, we need to just, you have presented at least a dozen cases in these presentations, which are really worth bringing to foray. So all we need to do is link to those links, but also explain why we chose these success stories or path-breaking areas where IoT is making an impact. Also some sense of proportion. Maybe it's more advanced in healthcare, maybe it's more advanced in buildings or network intelligence or wherever. So I'm as a student looking for those.
Okay, so yeah, add that into the chat. That'd be good.
Yes, sir.
Are there other overall comments, well, I guess anything specific to a particular track presentation, or again, anything that is an overall comment to all the tracks? Okay, so nobody had any specific comments say about Leo and Rom's slides, or anything specific about the comments that Ken and Mike made or that Torsten presented? Okay.
Well, Michael, this is Leo.
Yeah.
One thing I haven't seen yet, at least explicitly, and I don't know if we can really address it, but it seems to me that what's going to be required are a lot of virtual objects. In other words, we mentioned agents, but at the vast levels of granularity, you're really going to have, at a specific level, something that interacts with some specified set of services or minuscule agents or sensors. And so that has to encapsulate the semantics of that level, but then provide something to a higher level. And so I think you're going to have these, you know, whatever we call them, like virtual objects or proxies or something like that, to really, you know, have ontologies be used by the Internet of Things, which are so many different levels. So it's combining like work and programming along with the local semantics.
Okay, great. Yeah, maybe type that into the chat. That's good material to include. Todd, go ahead.
Michael, am I transmitting?
Yes.
I know I've harped on this, but it just dawned on me. Is there a presumption in all of the discussions of Internet of Things by other communities that interoperability is assured, i.e. these things will actually work when you plug the damn things in?
Sorry, is there a what?
An assumption or presumption of a priori interoperability with little or no extra work for explicit semantics?
Well, I don't think there's a presumption. I mean, there's a presumption in the sense that everything needs to work. I think people recognize that the heterogeneity is a challenge. I think it's up to us to say that ontology can help address some aspects of that.
Yeah, well, what types of heterogeneity?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's many types of heterogeneity, right?
Mm-hmm.
You, maybe the electrical voltages are wrong and it doesn't connect, or one fries the other or something. So, you know, in terms of what the communique is trying to focus at, is we're trying to, and I don't think, you know, in the draft I saw so far, is we're not making it very explicit that we're talking about the ability, or not the ability, but the a priori need for semantic interoperability,
mm-hmm.
and therefore you need some ontologies.
Right.
No, is that too obvious, or?
No, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, so I agree. We need to emphasize the semantic interoperability. Semantic heterogeneity as the challenge.
Yes.
And then propose ontologies as the way to achieve interoperability.
Well, you have to make the semantics explicit. So, mm-hmm. what are the options?
So we could frame it that, you know, semantics holds out the promise of being able to reuse data and repurpose data in multiple contexts, and that's true generally, and then how we apply that to the Internet of Things, .. interoperability, maybe that works?
Well, actually, that brings up another question to my mind, and I guess there's another presumption,
mm-hmm.
that the Internet of Things is supposed to operate at a planet-level scale, or people would like it to work across the entire planet, as opposed to particular subdomains, i.e. communities, or geographic regions, or particular subcommunications networks, or something like that.
Right, which is why scalability is one of the issues we've identified.
Well, was that scalability in terms of just the number of things, or the domains of interoperability? That is, can all the medical devices communicate with all of the farmer sensors, if that's necessary? So that issue of scale and heterogeneity across all of the possible, I can't think of a better word right now, but domains,
mm-hmm.
on a planet level scale. I don't know, just a question.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, so are there other comments from people? Say, so we heard from the track co-champs today that, you know, it's just kind of their perspective on that. What about everyone else on the call? So from your perspective, are there ideas related to synthesis or things like this that you know, you saw, or maybe you thought should have been in there? We can maybe include that discussion in the communique as well. So if anyone has any thoughts, you know, just click the little hand icon in the lower right hand of the chat window. Okay, well, if not, then let's go to the communique. So let's see, where did I put it? Okay. So I put the link at the top of the chat window, and that's the, oops, still lost it. There we go. Okay. So that's the link to the Google Doc, the document there. So just actually one process question, I guess. So right now, say both Mark and I are, you know, the chief editors. So we have write access. I can't remember in previous years. I think every track co-champion, since there are co-editors, has write access to the documents. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so if each of the track co-champions can email me your Google ID, I can make sure that you have write access. Or do people already have write access? Seems to be already be some write access going on here.
Yes.
I haven't tried.
I mean, people can comment, but can people actually change?
This is Terry. I've got write access, and I don't know why.
Okay. All right. Well.
Yeah, so Michael, I don't know if everyone else can see the changes I made yesterday, but I realized I was mucking it up, so I stopped.
Right, so right now I have, in sharing, I have anyone with a link can comment. I didn't select anyone with a link can edit, although it appears like Terry says, so he can edit. Interesting.
Are you seeing the changes I made yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, well, sorry about that.
Somebody named Anonymous made those changes.
Yeah, that was me. It was yesterday, anyway.
Okay, so this is, it's interesting. So can anyone else edit and make
changes? Michael, if any of us make changes, it just puts Anonymous. I just checked that.
Right, but it still makes changes.
I don't know what is the.
I have just now. I have made a change, but it shows in green. But I am not able to delete that and write the original word again. So it's just AND in the scalability section. So I retyped AND and it shows as green. So I guess I have some kind of access to change.
But Michael has to set up the security there.
Yeah, so, I mean, we want to kind of not have this, anybody in the world can make a change.
Yeah, so that is how
it is. Anyone have experience with Google Docs? You know, because all I'm looking at, and it says, who has access? Myself, Mark Underwood, and then anyone who has the link can comment.
Amanda knows how to do it.
So I really, it's just unusual.
I'm sorry, I don't know how to do it, so thank you.
Yeah, I'm signed up in Google Docs, and that may be part of the difference.
Why would that be different?
I'm not anonymous.
Yeah.
Because you have to be logged in the global... if you're logged in, I think it'll take
you... It'll put your name there if you log in. That's all.
Yeah, but does this allow people to commit changes? Anyone
that will? That's a problem.
Changes?
I think the answer is yes, Michael.
How do I change this? I need to know now, immediately.
I would say at least save what you have as a PDF.
Well, by telling us to stop.
Pardon me?
Okay, how about now? Can anyone make a change now?
I'll try.
Okay, I will try.
Can I give some changes?
Yes, I can.
Yes, I can as well.
I am signed in.
They're all anonymous.
It recognizes me because I have Google email, I have Google Docs access. So it is attributing that with a particular color for me.
Okay.
So you can always track who made what change.
Right, but I want to stop people from making changes.
Well, then one maybe goes to share button, anyone with the link.
I actually turned that off, so.
It still shows up.
Michael?
Yeah.
Before you spend more time right now trying to figure out how to control things, what is the intent of having...
You're right. We only have 15 minutes left, so...
Do you want to just be able to present the change, what the current draft is, or do you want the various track chairs to be able to...
Now it is effective. I cannot change anymore.
Yeah, I shut everyone out. So... I managed to shut everyone out then. But see, I don't want to shut everyone out. I want to allow people to put comments in. I just don't want people, arbitrary people, to make changes, because then I don't know what's going on.
Well, the status that it now is has a thing allowing somebody to mail you to request the ability to do stuff. So I'd infer from that that you should be able to give some permissions to track champions or whoever.
Right. Okay. So I mean, I want everyone to be able to make comments.
Now I can't even see the document. You have taken away even viewing access from me.
Yes, I get to the request access page as well.
Okay. Well, we're wasting time on this. I'm sorry. Let me just give an overview. Maybe what I'll have to do is I'll have to make a PDF of this and then post that.
I have a PDF, but I don't know how. I can't upload it. I took a PDF before discussion.
Do you want to do a quick copy and paste into the chat box, Mike?
Full document?
There's only a few pages there.
No.
Or not. Okay.
No. Bad idea.
Okay.
Okay, let me just give an overview of the document, and then I'll try to figure out these stupid permissions later. In the meantime, if somebody who's worked with Google Docs could please figure this out.
Is there a place I can email you people?
Let me go about this, because I have to go. I have a hard stop in 15 minutes here. So essentially what I wanted to kind of, the way we saw this was that there were two key themes that we kind of, two key questions we identified in the summit. I mean, one is how ontologies are actually used in IoT and looking at those different applications. And the other one is actually focusing in on what's the actual semantic content that people are using. And so I saw track B as kind of focusing on that latter question. So the idea of like, what is those kinds of content? What needs to be there? What kinds of content do we need to have in these ontologies? What kinds of ontologies do we need to be able to use to support all this? And whereas the other tracks, there's overlap, of course, but the other tracks were primarily focusing on now my window's dead. The other tracks were kind of focusing more on how ontologies were being used. And in that case, there were the different primary applications we're looking at integration. So whether it was the integration that we looked at in track A or standards integration that we're looking at in track B. And then the other primary application was the idea of decision support for Internet of Things. And within there, there were three questions that seemed to be the focus, right? So what kinds of axiomatizations do we need? Heavy versus light issue. How are the axioms actually being used? Are they being used directly for reasoning? Or what other kinds of applications? And then scalability. There's a summary of each of those ideas within the communique. Then I wanted to identify a set of challenges that we recognize. So things like software support, the lack of tools, semantic annotation, moving beyond semantic sensor network ontology. Then looking at different gaps and what gaps there are, and looking at some of the forecasts that we could make. And then finishing up with a set of recommendations. And so, for the most part, almost all of this material is cut and pasted from the different synthesis pages of each of the tracks. And so, it's again by no means completed, but that's kind of where it comes in. So, I'll be incorporating the new material we saw today, and also any people's other comments.
I'd like to make a quick one, if it's okay.
Yep.
I have gone back and looked at the comment that I made, and then I read the document while you were talking, and I feel that the document does address many of the comments I made. I thought those were gaps. Only thing is, can we put a pictorial or something that says, and also have a notion of where we are and where we need to go? That's the only comment I want to make.
Okay. So that would be in the, you know, the recommendations, gaps, forecast, challenges, and recommendations.
Sir, it would be more like an appendix. Like to illustrate what you have already created as a good document for communicate, just a little pictorial or something that says, this is the kind of framework we are looking IoT to develop to, or the stage like as is and to be. But this is pretty good. What I read is good reading.
So one thing that want to add in here is the terminology material that Ram and Leo presented, especially today and on their synthesis page. So my one question, I guess, was, would that be something that would be best in an appendix, or would that be something that would best be at the front of the document?
I think as you have it, it would be nice in the main body, at least as high-level points, like scalability, like challenges, be woven into one of these categories where it fits. And then maybe an appendix for detail if you want.
Yeah, I would see, this Leo, I would see how much room we take up with the rest of the communique. And then if it's enough already, then I would put it in the appendix.
Okay. Any other, so again, the process over the next week will be, allowing people to make comments on the document, and, you know, whether it's specific comments of wording in the document itself on the Google Doc or more general issues, let's engage on the email list. So, you know, our ontology-summit@ontolog. So, you know, the big issues we can kind of discuss there. So maybe some of these ideas we just talked about, like heterogeneity and those kinds of ideas, let's start some discussions there. And so what will happen is between now and next Thursday, there'll be all this discussion and feedback. Mark and I will try to incorporate that for next Thursday. And so then next Thursday, we'll be simply talking about the communique and trying to get some consensus on the final form of the communique. How does that sound?
Great.
Yeah, sounds good.
Good.
Okay, so let's see.
Please remember to undo the permissions business because we can't even see the document.
I put back in the fact that anyone with the link can comment. Okay, so that's.
Yeah, I just reopened it using the pointer in the chat, and I got I could look at the whole thing.
Right. So again, I want everyone to be able to make a comment. I'm just trying to restrict it so that not everyone can edit. Now Bart saying that the link I included lets me make changes, but I still don't see why that's the case.
Well, the best thing is one of us sends you the version as it is in PDF. I'd be happy to send you that. Or you can yourself convert to PDF, and then it's painstaking, but we will track who changes what. The document tracks who changes what.
So the comment is simply comment and suggest edits in files.
This is Joel. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the top right-hand corner is a little drop-down menu that says green suggesting. So if I pick that drop-down menu and I go back to viewing the final document, then none of my suggestions show up. So if I switch back to suggesting, then you'll see my green comment in between the first two paragraphs. But if you switch to viewing, then it doesn't show. So.
Very good. Good discovery.
Okay, I didn't see that. I don't see that, sorry.
And
on the right hand, green. Viewing and suggesting mode.
There's a title bar, and then there's a toolbar where you have access to fonts and layout. And over at the right-hand side of that is a drop-down menu.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Things. It should say editing, suggesting, or viewing. Editing for me is grayed out.
Right.
But I can make suggestions. And when I switch to viewing, then all these suggestions that people have made all vanish.
I got it. Okay. So everything's fine. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to now delete my edit in between the two paragraphs.
Okay.
And then go blink, and there it goes.
Got it. Yeah. And then viewing is without all comments. Got it. Okay. Fantastic. So, okay.
Thank you. Good session.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Joel. Okay, so though, but we do want to, I do want to allow the track co-champions to have write access as co-editors. So if you could just email me your Google account, I will add you on for edit access. Okay. Thanks everyone for the help with the Google Doc. That was a little frustrating. But looking good. And so let's say for the comments either are directly on the Google Doc, or if it's bigger, start a discussion on the email list. And Mark and I will be weaving in this new synthesis material over the next few days and see where we go. So tomorrow is an organizing committee meeting. Leo, you know, Mark has said that he would be able to lead. I won't be able to attend. Leo, can you be, say, the backup chair for tomorrow's session?
I guess so, yeah. Okay. Probably have to keep it at an hour, though, so.
Yeah.
Michael, this is Ramir again. I'll join at 11:15 tomorrow because of some other schedule conflict. But, however, there are a couple of things that I would like to bring up that you might want to be on the I just want to point out right now in the next minute or so. One is that Fuad also will be joining in, hopefully, and we need to kind of discuss the logistics of the meeting. Second is, which is very important, I think we need to set up the registration page and see, because this is not, right now we have not sent out anything to anyone outside our community.
Mm-hmm.
Since this is free, open and things like that, if you set up a registration page, then I can send email to other folks who are interested in coming.
Can you take care of that?
I don't know how to do it, so.
Who did this last year?
Whoever did the web page did last year. I think Hassan or someone, I think he was from Canada. Hassan was his name? He did the web page, so he did the registration thing. So.
Okay, so what was the first issue you mentioned?
First issue is the nitrate issue in terms of logistics there, because Fuad might want to know, like what are the requirements? Same as last time, but whoever did last time.
So who is the person?
Peter is the one who has been interacting with him last time, so I don't know.
Well, who are you interacting with at Niger's?
Me, Fuad, who is going to join in tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But tell him. I cannot be at tomorrow's meeting. I'm at a funeral tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's why I wanted to point out to you, whoever is going to run the meeting tomorrow, that since Mark is not here now and I will be 15 minutes late.
Okay, Ram. Well, we'll put it off and a discussion on that issue until you arrive.
Yeah, I hope to be back by being there by 11:15. So.
Okay. Well, you can also edit the meeting page and add that. Make sure that it gets onto the agenda. Okay.
Yeah.
And also make sure that. Oh yeah. In terms of advertising the Ontology Summit, it's only 2 weeks from now. If someone has to travel, all those things will have to be done.
Well, it's been advertised for quite a while.
Yeah, but it's mostly to our community. Sometimes we may get people from other communities. I don't know.
I'm sorry. It's been advertised. Where else are we advertising? We've been advertising it like on
No, but in terms of the logistics of people booking rooms and things like that, remember last time NSF, I think Nitrit folks helped us with that.
Yeah, well, we're unfortunately, it's right during the Cherry Festival, so...
yeah, I think what happened with...
Hotel rates are extortionary.
Yeah, we have a problem because the 13th and 14th, apparently there are two major events which are happening, and that's why I was having a tough time getting my invited speakers. One is the CPS and the IoT, Internet of Things Week at in Seattle is 13th and 14th. And the HIMSS, the Health Information Management Systems, or whatever it is, there's a conference. So that is also April, that week. So apparently lots of things are happening that week simultaneously.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we're finished for today. I got to go. So okay. You guys have to take care of this tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Take it then. So, Leo, you're going to lead tomorrow?
He's gone.
He's gone.
Leo
okay,
said
so.
if Mark Underwood can't make it, then Leo will chair the session.
Okay. Okay, then.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Unless you want to reschedule tomorrow's to Monday or something like that, which is a different story.
Well, see what you guys do tomorrow.